America has Israel's back. The words of President Barack Hussein Obama. America has turned its back on Israel. The words of a Republican congressman. Speaker of the House, Republican John Boehner, invited Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address the Congress. That in many ways was unprecedented and, as the White House insisted, somewhat improper protocol. In other words, disrespectful of the President of the United States. Nevertheless, the speech went down. The issue, of course, is Iran and the forthcoming nuclear treaty with Iran as negotiated by President Obama. That monumental event should happen, we are told, at or about March 24, 2015. The agreement, the understanding, again, we are told, will contain the ideas and policymaking of the president, who does not intend to submit the agreement to Congress for review and approval. So we are told. Iran, the world knows, is very close to being a nuclear power, and consequently very close to building nuclear weapons, which can completely change the balance of power in the Middle East and influence the world over, and all nations as never before. Scary, scary stuff. President Obama is supposedly asking Iran to cease and desist all work on nuclear weapons and to agree as such in this new agreement, this new understanding. That agreement would, for the most part, be built on trust and mutual understanding with Iran, two concepts utterly foreign to this nation and its supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. The speech occurred, as you know, Tuesday, March 4 in Washington, D.C. President Obama thought so little of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech to Congress that he made it clear he had not even bothered to watch it, but again went on to say that the text did not offer any viable alternatives with regard to the administration's pending nuclear deal with Iran. I suppose, as is so often the case, his aides told him what to say. But the reality was that the Netanyahu speech was powerful indeed, as perhaps the president feared. Prime Minister Netanyahu was both bipartisan and gracious to Mr. Obama for all he had, quote, done for Israel, end quote. The prime minister cited examples of such acts which were not previously publicly known. At the same time, Netanyahu made a very systematic and reasoned case against the looming nuclear deal with Iran, willing all the while to run the risk of breaking protocol and arousing the ire of the president in order to make his case. Benjamin Netanyahu called the proposed treaty agreement with Iran, as proposed by President Obama, a very bad deal. He reminded the Congress and our country at large and the world that the Iranian regime had long sponsored terror and jihadist activities, that this Iran had and continues to threaten to annihilate Israel. An even more realistic threat should Iran have nuclear warfare capability. In addition, said Mr. Netanyahu, Iran is bent on regional domination, the total control of the Arab and Muslim world, and the leader of the soon-to-come warfare of some kind on the West. That would be us. Netanyahu wondered how it was possible to make any trusting agreement with Iran, which would result in all such military activities ceasing and desisting. The majority of our Congress surely agreed. The Obama administration argues that a nuclear accord with Iran will help move the revolutionary regime toward moderation. But Mr. Netanyahu spent some 15 minutes laying out the regime's historical record. Since Hassan Rouhani became president of Iran in 2013, internal repression has become even worse than in the days of the administration of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Dissent is crushed, and dissenters are killed. Iran has greatly increased its military support for Bashar Assad in Syria. The country has gained de facto control of North Yemen. Iran continues to arm Hezbollah in Lebanon. Iran arms and funds the terrorist activities of Hamas in Gaza. And Iran does the very same for the Shiite militias in Iraq, as that country is once again torn apart. Iran is a savage, killing nation. Bent, Netanyahu warned, on the total destruction of Israel and the slaughter of the Jews the world over. The Prime Minister carefully noted that the pending deal with Iran would remove the economic sanctions that have finally driven Iran to the negotiating table. The deal with Obama would remove the very things which have finally forced Iran to bargain, however sincere the negotiations may be. Would, said Netanyahu, would Iran be less aggressive when sanctions are removed and its economy is stronger? Why, he said, should Iran's radical regime change for the better when it can enjoy the best of both worlds? Excellent questions. And the best of both worlds for them are aggression abroad, said Netanyahu, and prosperity at home. Again, aggression abroad and prosperity at home. Win-win for this brutal regime, don't you think? As you might expect, President Obama and his administration ignored these issues, these questions, for any rational answers might well contradict the intentions and the ultimate terms and conditions of the Iran agreement. The treaty agreement with Iran would call for regular inspections of nuclear facilities. The Prime Minister raised doubts whether or not even an intrusive inspection regimen would guarantee timely notice if Iran seeks to divert its nuclear capabilities from peaceful to bomb-building purposes. Netanyahu reminded our Congress that North Korea had agreed to inspections in a deal with the Clinton administration, only to oust the inspectors and the inspection processes years later, proceeding immediately to build its very own nuclear arsenal, which led Prime Minister Netanyahu to the bottom line and the ultimate challenge to President Obama and our Congress. Here, he said, here's the problem. You see, inspectors document violations. They don't stop them. They don't stop them. And indeed, there must even be assumption, that the inspectors are objective and fair and do in fact document violations so that America and the world can know and deal with them, if in fact they exist. Is it possible, Netanyahu wondered, is it possible for any objective inspection process to in fact occur? The Prime Minister thought not, and I think most would agree. And if, in fact, there were such violations, what would the world, and especially America, do? At what point in time or the building of nuclear warfare capability would America intervene with military force, wondered Mr. Netanyahu. Would they? How does America and the world deal with a regime bent on perfecting a robust nuclear infrastructure no matter what? They're going to do it no matter what. The Obama deal would accept Iran's already existing robust nuclear infrastructure, a disastrous mistake. So much of nuclear capability is already there. The agreement would also provide for a 10-year sunset provision, after which Iran could enrich as much uranium as it wishes. Wow, scary, scary stuff. In short, if this agreement were to occur and Iran would abide by the terms and conditions thereof, Iran would not be able to enrich enough uranium to build nuclear weapons, and so the world would be safe for 10 years. What? Okay, I don't know whether you buy that, because I sure don't. But watch out, mankind, for that 11th year. Watch out. Even the inept United Nations and its Security Council, seemingly pro-Arab as it is, demanded that Iran halt all enrichment activities in a resolution adopted as far back as 2010. A lot of good that did. A lot of good that did, implied Netanyahu. The 5 years since, Iran has not only not stopped, but actually increased its uranium enrichment activities, utterly ignoring the apathetic United Nations. The Obama administration rather lamely says that it can't plausibly forbid Iran from having some enrichment capability. Enrichment would therefore continue under the Obama deal, and as such, that ongoing capability makes it easier for Iran to cheat. That is, do what it wishes, no matter the terms and conditions of any Obama-driven agreement it may make. It seems impossible that inspections would occur in every place where enrichment can occur, for the Iranians are masters at deceit. Oh, are they ever? Prime Minister Netanyahu rightly noted to Congress that Iran could get to the bomb by violating the deal. Iran could get to the bomb by violating the deal, and it surely could. But even more, the Prime Minister said that Iran could get to a bomb by keeping the deal. Isn't that interesting? In short, nuclear capability could be attained by Iran with or without the Obama deal. Scary notions for the world, are they not? And if either or both are true, why is this deal being negotiated? In short, nuclear capability could be attained by Iran with or without the Obama deal. Let me repeat that. Scary stuff. It seems as though the Obama administration claims that the only alternatives in the present are the deal he wishes to make with Iran or war. In short, the Obama way for nuclear disaster. Not so, said Mr. Netanyahu, for there is at least a third choice. Not only war, and not just the deal Obama wishes to make, but negotiate a better deal. Negotiate a better deal. The Prime Minister made clear that economic and other sanctions had driven Iran to the negotiating table at a time when oil was $100 a barrel. And Iran would be under even greater pressure now when oil is at or about $50 per barrel. In short, economic sanctions worked in good times, and they would be far better in their severity for Iran in bad times. Iran is still a relatively weak country economically and under great economic pressure even now. That economic leverage increases by the day, and the United States has leverage to drive an even harder bargain if it is willing to do so. That, said Mr. Netanyahu, should be the right course of action. Nonetheless, the Prime Minister, knowing how the political world works, indicated that he would be open to accepting some kind of agreement, the best that could be arranged, no matter the attempts to portray him as opposed to any concessions. Prime Minister Netanyahu then, however, made it clear that any sunset provision would only be acceptable to him and consequently to Israel if it hinged on a clear and transparent change in Iran's military behavior. Wow, I don't think that's going to happen. Netanyahu emphatically stated, quote, if the world powers are not prepared to insist that Iran change its behavior before a deal is signed, at the very least they should insist that Iran change its behavior before a deal expires, end quote. Okay, well, would that mean that Iran has 10 years to change its behavior? I don't think I buy that. But this speech by Prime Minister Netanyahu was clear, it was objective, it was straight and truthful, so that the Congress rose in agreement and offered Prime Minister Netanyahu a standing ovation. The Prime Minister knows that his real audience, those who will really listen and care in America, are the Congress and the American people, and not the Obama administration. The Netanyahu speech raised serious doubts about any accord with Iran, which Mr. Obama wants, and which the President has been negotiating in secret. No one in Congress understands the terms and conditions of this Obama deal. That's a startling fact, don't you think? Why is this President so secretive? President Barack Hussein Obama wants Americans to accept his deal, his arrangement, and his agreement with Iran without a vote in Congress. That itself is a major violation of the American system, ignoring the rightful powers of Congress, and an illustration once again of the President with the pen and the phone doing exactly what he wants, no matter the consequences. You know, I say God help America if that happens. What do you think? Iran is a state sponsor of terror and has been officially listed as such by the world for more than 30 years. Iran has developed an extensive military-industrial complex, having spent hundreds of billions of dollars to do so. It supplies weapons to terrorist nations and organizations the world over. With Iran's help, Hezbollah has stockpiled more than 60,000 surface-to-surface rockets in Lebanon. Again, 60,000 surface-to-surface rockets in Lebanon. For what purpose other than to destroy Israel? While Hamas, on the other hand, has stockpiled about 10,000 surface-to-surface rockets in Gaza. All such for the stated purpose of wiping Israel off the face of the earth. The same regime which has executed tens of thousands of its own citizens for political opposition now would promise not to build a nuclear bomb? The notion, such a promise, is absurd on its face. Iran has close allies in Russia and China and North Korea, leading nations in the development of ballistic missiles and nuclear capabilities. Even in South Central America, Iran has engaged in money laundering, drugs and arms trafficking, counterfeiting, promoting jihad, and plotting terrorist attacks. And the president of our great country would have us believe that this kind of nation is one we can trust to live by the terms and conditions of his deal? North Korea, Pakistan, and India all agreed to full disclosure and inspections with respect to their nuclear capabilities, and each of these three nations developed nuclear weapons despite international agreements in secret. They developed it all in secret. Iran would do the same. In fact, it is even now doing that very thing. This led Republican Representative Chris Stewart from Utah to state the following. A shrewder president would know to walk away from this bad deal. Stewart indicates that Congress, Obama notwithstanding, intends to be very aggressive and proactive in making certain that any deal done with Iran is done right and not at the whim of a president. Good for you, Congressman Stewart. Make it happen. President Obama and his administration continue to be outraged, agitated, and angry at Prime Minister Netanyahu for making the speech. And even the New York Times, stated unusually sharp criticism. Wow. Following party lines, Vice President Joe Biden did not attend the speech, nor did 60 Democrat congressmen and senators. Supposedly in respect for President Obama and, of course, the disrespect of Prime Minister Netanyahu. National Security Advisor Susan Rice declared that the Prime Minister's appearance and speech before Congress was, quote, destructive of the fabric of the relationship between the United States and Israel. Wow. More unusually sharp criticism from the Obama administration. Secretary of State, that brilliant statesman, John Kerry, questioned Mr. Netanyahu's judgment for having supported the 2003 invasion of Iraq, but failed, in typical Kerry fashion, to mention that as a United States Senator, John Kerry had voted for the war in 2003. He voted for it. Convenient amnesia, don't you think, Mr. Kerry? Many think that all of this Democrat rant actually made the Netanyahu speech more significant and the results more dramatic than they otherwise would have been. Many millions more watched and heard what Netanyahu had to say. All supporters of Israel and surely all Jews should now know very clearly where President Obama and his administration stand on Israel. There is now open antipathy between Obama and Netanyahu. And that's transparent for all to see. And it makes clear the fabrication that America has Israel's back. No, they don't. And now, knowing for a fact that America and Obama have turned their backs on Israel and Netanyahu, that's the fact. A sad day and a sad turn of events for all things Judeo-Christian, for America, and for the peace of the world. Netanyahu, like him or not, is a man straight, truthful, and with a passion for Israel, its growth and survival. The Netanyahu speech should help the world focus on Iran, the most evil-driven country in the world, bent on hatred and warfare and terrorism and total domination in the Middle East, and the nuclear annihilation of Israel and eventually the destruction of the West. Never forget, my fellow Americans, that this evil Iran-driven axis of powers regards Israel as the little Satan. The little Satan. But the real problem the real problem, which Iran intends to solve someday in the future with its ever-growing nuclear capability, is us, America. We the people. We, according to the jihadist world, we are the great Satan. Our country, you and I, are the great Satan. And someday they're coming after us. The Obama deal with Iran will put the Middle East and Israel and even the world in far greater danger. We can only hope and pray that such a deal is not struck, and if so, never, ever gets the blessing or the funding by the Congress of the United States, no matter the pathetic, compromising position of so many Democrats, including perhaps President Obama himself. And we, people of faith, should continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all Israel and for all the world and all mankind. For if left to Iran, that will never happen. Iran will never rest until every Jew, every Israeli, is buried at the bottom of the Mediterranean.